Okay. We're going to sing one more song that's up here on the Jesus. There's something about that name. And anytime you hear the name Jesus, there's definitely something about it, you know. It's such a beautiful name. So let's sing this through a couple of times. If you would, please stand with me. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Amen. Don't you love it? Amen. Amen. That's a beautiful song. Go right ahead. Time for a testimony after that, isn't it? Somebody have a testimony. Sure.
And I have to go to bed. Tonight I got to go, and I told Dylan, I need to go to church tonight.
Amen.
I'm not hurting, but it's not because I don't like you.
Well, thank you for that.
I went to bed these point of time, and if it wasn't for Dale helping me, I couldn't do it.
Amen.
But I thank God for what he does give me and for what he's going to do for me.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
And, you know, we don't feel good today or whatever. And, you know, there's always somebody that's way worse off than us. And there is just so much cancer in this world right now.
Oh, I know.
And it's I just pray for everyone with cancer. I know my sister said that she has been praying about the cancer, especially like the children. Because, I mean, even the little children are getting it. So, you know, there's just a lot of sickness in this world, but, you know, there's always somebody worse, and I just pray that we can always keep praying for each other.
Absolutely. Amen. How many people in here has had cancer survivors? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, me, 7, wow, 8. Praise God. You know, it can be defeated by the grace of God. And, you know, I've been getting some things, reports that I read once in a while, and they say there's a cure for it now. There's a different kind of a treatment out there that I've read that it could cure it within 48 hours. But it's a different kind of a chemotherapy, but it doesn't attack all the cells of the body, just attacks, goes directly towards cancer cells. And if that be the case, they need to get it out there and market it, you know. And it's just, only God knows for sure. But anyway, anybody else have a testimony? This is your time. This is your time.
God saved me from my cancer. I had lung cancer. Which is part of my lung. But he gave me a calmness through the whole thing.
Amen.
And that was over 27 years ago, and I praise him every day for it.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody else have a testimony. All right. Going once, going twice. Don't complain. Okay, here we go. We got two more. Praise God. Sister Judy, go ahead.
I just want to praise the Lord for my salvation.
Amen.
I just
want to
thank you for everything that he's done for me. It seems like he's just been so good to me.
Amen.
And I just want to thank you, Lord, for going to that cross for me.
Amen.
Just pray for me that I'll always be what God wants me to be.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. 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 That is true. Anybody else? Maybe we should have just started over here and went around the room and just force you all to do this. We'll just make everybody stand up and praise the Lord, which is what we just did. But that's okay. Thank you so much for your testimonies, just for praising God, because, you know, we need to do that. You know, the ladies are better at it than the men are. Isn't that something? That's a shame on us, huh? Well, I'll do it. Praise the Lord! Does that take care of it for us? Anyway, God is good, you know, and when we get together, we need to testify. And we can't be ashamed of what God's done for us, because he's done such mighty things in our life. And, you know, we've been going through the book of Ephesians now, I think Darlena told me, since September the 10th. And we're still there, but we're gaining ground, okay? We're getting there. But, you know, tonight, you know, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5. We're starting a new chapter tonight. I'm not going to read all the outline that I put together. Covers all the way through verse 21, but we'll not get through that tonight. So let's just open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's read verses 1 through 10, and then we'll make our message from there. When you find your place, if you'd please stand. Ephesians 5, 1 through 10. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Father, we praise you tonight, and we thank you for your presence with us here. And Lord, we know that wherever we're at, you are there. For Father, your Holy Spirit lives in our hearts. And Father, may we be individuals and a church family, Father, who allows ourselves not to just be indwelt by the Spirit of God, but to be filled by the Spirit of God. And so, Father, we ask that you'd fill each of our hearts tonight as we look into your word. Open our understanding to it and speak to us. Give us what we need to hear, Heavenly Father, from heaven, from your throne. Give us good understanding, we pray, in Christ's holy name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. That's pretty blunt, is it not? Paul was right to the point. He always is. He's a very to the point kind of an individual. And, you know, if we had more Christians like Paul was in his day today, oh my, maybe our world would be in a little bit better shape. But sometimes we kind of take the word of God and we kind of suppress it a little bit, and we say, well, we don't want to say that. That's probably not real nice. Somebody's going to get mad, or we're going to step on somebody's toes. Well, praise the Lord if our toes get stepped on. You know, when I pick up the Bible and I start reading it, and God points something to me and says, Roy, buddy, I'm talking to you. And my toes get stepped on. When I study these things, sometimes God opens my eyes to some things, and I got to look in the mirror, and I got to say, Lord, are you talking to me? And you know what he says? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And you know what? There's got to be change. There's got to be some change in our life. Brother Dale preached a great message here a couple Sunday nights ago regarding revival, and it still resonates in my heart. And he does the same thing on Wednesday nights. I wasn't able to be here Wednesday night. I missed being here. I had to be out of town, and I didn't like that at all. So praise God, that ain't happening again. By His grace, by God's grace, that's not happening again. So anyway, we'll pick up tonight. And you know, we talked a little bit about how we're supposed to walk in unity as Christians, and then how we walk in other ways. But tonight, I want to talk to us about walking in love, light, and in wisdom, because that's what shows Christ to others in our lives. When Christians are united and they come together and we stick together. I mean, I said something earlier about the Islamic Muslim group. You think about how tight-knit those people are. And I hate to say this, but we can learn something from them as far as the way that they stick together. If we as Christians would stand up and we would be as firm in our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ as they are in Muhammad. Oh, my goodness, folks. And you know what? Muhammad's dead. He's dead. Jesus is alive. He still lives. And he ever lives to intercede on our behalf. He's sitting in heaven or standing in heaven right now looking down on us. And he cares about us. We've got a responsibility to walk in love, to walk in light, and to walk in wisdom. And if we can't learn to do that, then there's something wrong in here. We're not giving ourselves wholly over to the Holy Spirit. And we've got a responsibility to do that. Like I mentioned this morning, the Word of God is the seed. We've got to get it out there. And praise God, your son, Brother Bob, this morning, on his way out, he grabbed some of those John and Romans. He looked at me and he shook my hand. He said, I got me some. I'm like, praise the Lord. Get them out there. It doesn't matter whether he's a member of our church or not. He's getting the Word out. And those are wonderful little things to get out there. I mean, pick one up and look at it right in the front of it. It's marked. It can take somebody that's unsaved and doesn't know the Lord and give them the Romans road to heaven, the plan of salvation. You know, and it's wonderful. Get it out there. That's part of walking in love. You know, if we truly loved the way God loves and we have the love of Jesus in us, we're going to get that seed out there as much as we possibly can. So don't think that just because you're going to church, everything's hunky-dory, because it's not. We got a responsibility. We got to get the Word out there, folks. We got to get it out there. I mean, if we want God to bless our church. You know, I've said it multiple times about that sign on the wall, to know Him, to make Him known. We're not going to make Him known by coming to church and sitting in the pews. It's not going to happen that way. People aren't just going to show up because nobody invited them. You know, we had that young man come forward this morning, and he's got some things that I need to talk to him about. Brother Bob came up and prayed with me and filled me in a little bit about him. But we need to pray for that young man. You know, he's interested in joining our church, and but I need to talk to him about some things first. And but we want our people. You know, the whole reason behind why I wanted to go through the book of Ephesians with our church is because I want to make sure that we're all grounded in what it takes to be a church in a modern day. Because this is a New Testament church that Paul wrote this to out of Ephesians. And we are to walk, like it says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. We've got to follow God in every aspect of our life. And you know, we're really bad about trying to solve our own problems. And we're really bad about not depending on others when we have problems. And we need to get over that. Because one thing we have to learn to do is depend on God. You see what it says? It says, as dear children. That word children means that's exactly what we are. In the eyes of God, we're still children. I don't care how old you get. You can be 95 years old sitting in this church, and you're still a child in the eyes of God. Because your age is nothing in comparison to all of eternity. Think about that. And God says, therefore, be ye therefore followers. In other words, when you follow someone, it's do as I do. Remember when you was a kid and you played that old game, follow the leader? And whatever the person in front of you did, you had to do the same exact thing. I don't know how long that game's been around, but it's probably been around for, I don't know, probably Bible times. I don't know. It's hard to say. But I remember playing that game when I was a kid. And everything the person in front of me did, I had to do exactly what they did. And if I was in front being the leader, because you did what you were supposed to do. I did some things I knew they couldn't do. So, you know, we had this one building when we lived up in New York. It was kind of an abandoned apartment building. It was about four stories high. And when we played Follow the Lead there a couple of times, I'd go up the stairs, get clear in the top of it, and get clear on the roof of the building. And they had a ledge on the building on the outside about that wide. You had to climb up on the roof and step over top of a little wall, and you had to jump down on this little step about this big. I was never afraid of heights. And I'd get on that, and I'd walk around that, and I always won because they would not follow the leader. But you know, as Christians, we got to follow our Savior. We got to follow the Lord. And if there's one, you know, what we want, sometimes what we always want when we get saved is we want heaven, but we don't want to follow Jesus to get there. And we've got to learn to do that because we are His children. And you know, Joe said something to me the other day when we were there at their house. He said, you know, he said, I'm a little selfish, but he said, you know, he said, Jesus wants all of His children to be where He's at. God wants us all to be there. And God bless him. He's in a win-win situation. Either way, Joe's going to be okay. And that's the important part. And, you know, that broke my heart. Talking to Brother Joe, because, you know, he told me, he said, God wants us with Him. And I'm thinking, come on, rapture, right now. Come on, rapture. Get us out of here. Well, I'll go with Brother Joe. My wife's there, and Debbie's there. We'll all go together, you know. And I can't, you know, we got to be followers of God as His children, you know. And it goes on to verse 2. Let me get my notes up here. Walk in love. I want to talk about walking in love. Follow Christ as our example. Nobody has ever had greater love than Jesus Christ. He had that wonderful agape love that was unconditional. And, you know, we always talk about come as you are. And that's true. God doesn't. He loves everybody. He really does. And I'll say that till the day that I die. But I'll tell you one thing He does not love. He doesn't love the sin. He loves the sinner, but not the sin. He hates the sin. He abominates the sin. And that word abomination is a strong, very strong, strong hatred. And God hates sin. But He wants us to hate sin as well, which we'll get into as we go through this. We may not get to that part tonight, but there are things that we're responsible to do as Christians. One of those things is to follow the example of Christ, which means we got to study the life of Christ. We have to get to know Jesus Christ. We have to walk the way that Jesus walked. Not that we can be perfect like Jesus was. He was the only perfect human being that ever lived, but we got to follow Christ and His example. And it goes on in verse 2. It says, and walk in love as Christ hath also loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering. And this is a beautiful verse, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. If you go back into the Old Testament, you start studying how they used to perform sacrifices, and they'd have the burnt offerings, the shedding of blood, so on and so forth. And when that went up into the nostrils of God Almighty, it was so sweet to Him. Not because something had to die or that blood was shed. It was a sweet savor because they were willing to sacrifice for their sins. But when Jesus did it, folks, that was the end of man performing any kind of sacrifice. That was all over. Jesus was that sweet-smelling sacrifice that was so sweet to God that was the only blood that was pure enough to be able to save and wash away the sins of an entire world. What a simple thing that we have in Christianity to be able to share with someone the gospel of Jesus Christ, to follow after Jesus and do the things that Jesus did, and to be able to present Jesus to as many people as we possibly can. And the only way to do that is to plant the seed, the Word of God. It's got to go out. And people, I mean, we don't have 500,000 people watching us on Facebook. You know, it's not just the pastor's responsibility to get the Word out there. It's every person in the pew's responsibility to get the Word out there. And we've got to make sure that we're doing the best that we can to do that. And like I told everybody this morning, I love those John and Romans. Brother, those were wonderful things you had put in those boxes back there, but they can't stay in the boxes. I've got a whole box of them in my office. My wife sat back here this morning, blacked out all kind of stuff, getting them ready to go. And Caitlin's got some that she's putting some stickers on, you know, covering up some things. And because we got to move on. We got to move on. And what I mean by that is, you know, we got to take the old pastor's names off of some things. And not that I don't want my name on it. I'm going to tell you that up front. I'm not here to represent myself. I'm here to represent my Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we get new tracts or something like that, just put the church's name. address, service times. Don't put Roy Johnson on there. I'm nobody. I didn't die for you. Jesus Christ did. And I want to present him. I want to make him known, not me, in any way, shape, or form. That's why I don't think it's important to have a pastor's name on a track. You know, they can call the church, and the church can put them in touch with me anytime they want to. But I don't think it's important to do that, because you don't know what God has in store. Just like, you know, we're talking about, I think Travis is going to meet with somebody tomorrow about a sign for out at the road, because that looks a little tacky out there. After the wind got a hold of that again, hopefully for the final time, we need something out there that is going to look presentable. We don't want people thinking we're just an old mom and pop's church that just got started. We've been here for 49 years. Holy cats. A long time. And you know, we need to have something that people drive by and they look at that and they say, you know, that church is, they're doing okay. We need to go to church there. But we don't need an old rag out there hanging on a sign. But that sign did wonders for us when we first got it. It looked great. It really did. But it's time to move on. You know, God sent the wind by and tore it down. So it's time to move on. But Travis is going to try to get some ideas for us as a church and stuff. But, I done told him I don't want my name on the sign because God could call me home tomorrow. And I don't want the church to be left with my name stuck on something. Then you got to try to get it off of there. And, you know, there's some other things I want to get with Darlene on that, you know, we need to make some changes on. Because we're here to follow Jesus, not man. And I have a problem with people who leave a church because they're mad at somebody. That is the dumbest thing. That's not what church is all about, folks. That's why I don't like cliques. I don't like cliques in churches. And when I see that, I'm probably going to say something to people when I start seeing our church develop cliques, because that's not following God as dear children. We have people over here that say something about these people over here and over here and over here and over here and over here. I think I'm going to start assigning seats every Sunday to somebody, get you out of your comfort zone. I wouldn't do that. But I'm telling you right now, when you get to heaven, you're not going to have that pew you're sitting in, okay? You'll be where God wants you to be then. You don't have a choice. Because at that point, you're walking in love as Christ has also loved us. But he goes on, and he, you know, Jesus certainly has loved us and given himself for us. And you think about that. What is the least that we could do for him? I mean, the least that we could do for him is to hand out a John and Romans. Just hand it out to somebody. Leave it lay somewhere. Somebody will walk by and pick it up and look at it and say, oh, look at there. This is a gift. A gift from who? From Abundant Life Baptist Church in Proctorville, Ohio. They got all kind of them up in Ohio right now. And I'm glad of that. But he offered himself to God as an offering and a sacrifice in our behalf. The least we could do is follow him, love him, get to know him. Don't just get to know him, but as you know him better, introduce him to other people. Because you know what? He's alive. He is not dead. He needs to be introduced to other people. You know, don't be ashamed of Jesus. A lot of people get saved and then they kind of, you know, they kind of shudder when it comes time to witness to somebody. Don't do that. Don't be afraid. He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He's never going to leave us, folks. He's right there by you. He's inside of you through the power of the Holy Spirit. He gifted you as a Christian to be able to share your testimony with somebody, if nothing else. But he offered himself just for you. The least you could do is offer him to someone else. And that's part of our responsibility. Let his example teach us how to walk in love. And according to John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. I don't got the answer somewhere. But anyway, in John 13, 35, it's very clear that he says, tells us to walk in love. Walk in love. And how do we do that? You know, one of the biggest things about love is honesty, being honest with people. When you know someone is doing something that is sinful, that they're not supposed to do, Christian or non-Christian, you've got a responsibility, if you know the right thing to do, to tell them, I'm sorry, that's the wrong thing to do. This is what you're supposed to do. And there's a lot of Christians out there who have accepted sin in this world, and they don't want to let go of it. They love it too much. They love sin more than they love Jesus, and that's not a good thing. So if you've got something in your life that you're holding on to that means more to you than Jesus does, no matter what it is, let go of it. Give it to God. Give it to God for Jesus' sake. But he tells us in John 13, 34 and 35, he says clearly, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. And he's talking about the church, folks, loving one another. When there's fights and arguments going on within God's people, and that unity, and God's people are no longer walking in unity because of some of the dumbest things, just stupid things, because somebody got their feelings hurt. Folks, I'm going to hurt your feelings sometimes every time I get up behind this pulpit. And if it's God's word that's hurting your feelings, I'm not going to apologize for that. I'm not going to do that. When God steps on your toes, God steps on your toes. Like I said, he steps on mine every time I have to sit down and study. He literally does. But he says clearly here that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. He said it, he just repeated himself three times, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye love one another. But this shall all men know, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. How? If ye love one another. That's pretty simple. It's pretty plain. Love to be around God's people. Love to be around them, to be with them. And believe you me, when that day comes and you can't be around God's people, go talk to Brother Joe. There's no place he'd rather be than sitting right there in that pew right there with Debbie. No better place. Why? Because he loves to be around God's people. Folks, we got to learn to love to be around God's people. Plain and simple. It's not a hard thing to do, to be around God's people. I'm telling you, when you go out into the world, I spent the whole week this past week out in the world. And I'm telling you, I hated every minute of it. It was a miserable week. A lot of people say, how was your week? Well, it was good. You don't want people to tell you it was, you don't want to tell people how bad it was. But it was awful. It was. Some of the stuff that I heard, some of the stuff that I saw, some of the stuff that goes on out there, it will break your heart. It is terrible. And I'll give you a little example. I was one of the stores that I was working in late at night one evening. And I think the first day that I was up there, I worked about 14 and a half, 15 hours the first day. But I was standing out in the lobby. It was a restaurant. It's the Dewey's Pizza. And I was standing out there in the lobby. I was working on some things, me and this other guy. And there was this older man sitting over in the corner. He was probably, I don't know, he looked like he was, you know, close to 80 years old. Not that that's old, folks. You're still in the spring. You're still spring chickens. But I'm just using this as an example. But he had a younger guy with him. And they were sitting there, and they ate their dinner. And they come up, and I was kind of underneath of the counter working on some things. And the older fella looked at the manager, which I knew the manager was a sodomite. Call them what God calls them. They're sodomites. And I knew he was that way because you can just tell when somebody's that way. And the old man starts talking to him. And he asks him, he says, is there any queer bars around here? This is an old man, 80-some years old, it looked like. Wanting to find a queer bar. And the young boy says, oh, yes, there's a queer bar about three blocks down the road. And I go there every now and then, and they have a special queer night just for us queers. And I'm thinking, get me out of here. Get me out of here. It made me sick to my stomach. It made my skin crawl. And you know what? Christians accept that. They accept it. It's in our churches, folks. It's in a lot of churches out there. And pastors don't preach against it. They welcome them in. Look up Andy Stanley once in a while. Charles Stanley would come out of his grave if he knew a little bit about what his son was, but if he knew what he was doing right now, he'd come out of his grave if God would have let him do it. It's a shame. It's a shame what's going on out there. It's disgusting. It's ungodly, and God cannot stand it. But anyway, I bit my tongue. And I was already out. By that time, I was already out of my John and Romans. I'd have handed them all three of John and Romans and said, here, y'all get a chance to read this. But I'd already put them everywhere I could think of putting them. But I won't go in a gay bar and leave them in there. I'm not going to do that. Those people need the Lord, but I'm not going to go in their place of business. I won't do that. I'm not going to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm not going to expose him from my body into that stuff. But we have to set the example, as he tells us to. In 1 John 3:16-17, it says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, for one another. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to die for Christ? That's a big question. And that always takes my mind back to Columbine when that little girl was down on the floor and that boy had that gun held to her head and told her to deny Jesus. And she wouldn't do it. So she took the bullet instead. So rather than stay where she was at, she followed Jesus. She followed Jesus right to heaven. And she did that in love. She did it in love. Because I'm sure in her heart she knew, if I do this, maybe it'll touch someone else's life. And, you know, they wrote a book about that girl that touched so many different lives with her testimony. And I pray, God, none of our teenagers or our kids ever have to go through that. But we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen in the public school out there. It's hard for us to say from one day to the next. It is so bad out there right now that it ought to make our skin crawl. And it's that way because of us. We have to look in the mirror and say, what did I do to stop this? What did I, have I not walked in love? Am I supposed to walk in love? But he goes on, he says in verse 17 of 1 John chapter 3, but whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? In other words, if we don't share with others who are in need, Brother Dale used this a while back out of the book of James, if we don't share with somebody else when we have something that they need, then that's not love. It's love when we share it. But I'm going to change that a little bit. It's more than just material things. We have a gift to give people that's far greater than any material possession that we could ever give them, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we don't give Him to this world and we don't present Him to them by planting the seed of God's Word where it needs to go, then people will never, ever be saved. They've got to hear the Word of God. They've got to get the Word of God. It's okay to invite them to church. Bring them to church. We'll preach at them. We will. We'll give them the Word of God right up here from this pulpit. And every chance we get, we'll pull them off to the side. We've got plenty of rooms around here. We can get a couple of people. We'll gang up on them and share Jesus with them. Let them know what Jesus can do and what He's done for us. That's all a testimony is. When you have to tell somebody about Jesus, just tell them what He did for you. What did Jesus do for you? Some of you just gave testimonies tonight. Use that same thing. You know, God saved you from cancer. You know, God saved you, period. He gave you new life in Jesus Christ. Share it with somebody. That's love. That's sharing the love of Christ with the rest of this world. And we've got a responsibility to do that. And it's very clear that as we continue to walk in love, with a love that's got to be a love that's pure. See, the love of Christ is so pure. The love of this world, they get so confused. Okay, to this world, when you talk about love, it's not the kind of love we talk about. Theirs is always some kind of sexual thing. It's a sexual thing. Well, I hate to bust everybody's bubble, but that sexual thing's been put between a man and his wife. That's where that stays. That's where it should stay. But I'll tell you this, when we talk to people about love, we got to make sure that we ourselves are walking in that love. And that love has got to be so pure within us. Our love should be free from any hint of immorality or greed. We don't do what we do just to get what we can get out of somebody else. And we don't share Jesus with others when we're living an immoral life, and they know it. When we partake of the same lifestyle that they partake of, and you try to tell them about Jesus, you're wasting your breath. You're wasting your breath. Because they're going to say, you're no better than I am. But the only thing that's better about me than anybody else is the fact that I've got Jesus inside of me. And I accepted Him, and He saved me from that kind of a lifestyle. Not that I was ever in that lifestyle. Thank God for Christian parents who got me in church when I was young, and I accepted Jesus at a young age, and I didn't have to taste that kind of life. But I'm telling you right now, it's more prevalent now in this world for our young people than you can ever imagine. That's why I want to make sure that our kids in Master Club, that our teens out here are getting the proper teaching from the Word of God that is going to not just change their life or introduce them to Jesus, but it's also going to help them build up that strength that they need as they go out into this world to stand up when evil is in their way and say, no, get it out of my face. I want nothing to do with it. There's nothing better to see than a young person who will say no when sin comes their way. There's no greater thing to see. than to see them grow up in Jesus Christ in church and see that pure love that they're able to get. And Ephesians 5:3 tells us, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Don't let it be named in our church. Kick that stuff out. Don't live according to the world. Live according to the Word of God. And I've said it before, when it says, don't do it, thou shalt not, it's simple. Don't do it, thou shalt not. Kick it out of the way. Walk away from it. Turn around and walk away from it. I was so thankful when I got in my car Friday when I finished up after hitting a couple of stores Friday morning early. And I got in my truck and I sat there and I prayed and I said, thank you, Lord, for getting me through this last final trip by your grace. Unless you've done it, unless you've been there, unless you've been around these young kids in today's world, well, that music that just, oh, it goes through you like a knife. But praise God, the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's sharper than that music. But these kids, they listen to that garbage, and they let it fill their mind. And it goes, it's like a chant. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. And it has absolutely no meaning whatsoever. It doesn't have anything to do with real true love that you find in the Word of God. It's nothing but a bunch of garbage. It's a bunch of garbage. We need to pray for these kids. The kids in our church, we need to lift them up before the Lord daily. Because they have got a long battle ahead of them. We need to pray the armor of God about these kids that they'll be strong. That they'll follow Jesus, and they'll walk and follow the example of Christ, and they'll walk in this pure love. But he goes on here, and he says in verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 5, and he says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Pretty simple. It's plain. God's Word's not that hard to understand, folks. Get you a Bible dictionary if you need to know what every word means. But it's very clear. So even our words or our jokes, if they're suggestive of immorality or greed, and if it's unbecoming to the saints, then we need to avoid it. Stay away from those kind of things. Avoid it. That's why I just, standing there the other day after I got that thing fixed that I was working on, and listen to that. That talk about, oh, there's a queer bar down the road, and they have a special every Thursday night. And I just had to turn away, and I walked away. And Jason, the guy that I asked you guys to pray for, he still needs to be saved, but because he's on the wrong ground right now, because he just does not believe in God, period. Doesn't want to accept it. He's proud of his daughter, who is a lesbian. He's proud of that. He's happy that she, he's praying, he's not praying, he's hoping that she'll find a good wife and that one of them will have a child. How ungodly can you get? If that doesn't make your blood boil, folks, there's something wrong with us. When God gets angry about sin, so should we. Something has got to be done. We got to go just like the guy over in the Netherlands and stand up one of these days and say, you know what? That's not America. That's not who we are. Get out of our country. And you know, that's going to be a hard thing to do. Because our nation is a mess. Our world is a mess. And you know whose fault it is? It's my fault. It's my fault. I have to look at myself. And I have to ask myself, what did I do to stop this? What did my dad do to stop it? What did you do to stop it? What did any of us do to actually put a stop to it? We knew it was coming, but we didn't put on that armor, which we'll get into that as soon as we get there, get over to that point in Ephesians. We're going to talk about the armor, because I'll tell you what, and I'd like to have some of our teens in here when we get to that point, because they need to hear about the armor of God, because they're the ones who go out there every single day and battle it. Some of us just get to go home and sit back and relax in our recliners while these kids are out there fighting a battle. And we need to back them 100%. I tell you, if any of these kids ever come to me and say, hey, I got a problem in school, can you help me through this? I'm going to say, what's your principal's name? What school you go to?
and I'll walk in with Bible in hand. I saw my dad do that one time. They told me I had to play football with girls, and I wasn't about to do it. They wanted us to play flag football with girls, and that was back in the day when that stuff was just starting when I was in high school. I went home and told my dad. I said, "I'm not doing it, Dad." He said, "Not doing what?" I said, "They're telling me that I got to play flag football with the girls. I'm not going to do it." He said, "I'll take care of it, son." He showed up the next day with Bible in hand, walked right into the principal's office, and opened up the Word of God and shared it with him. You know what? I didn't even have gym that year. One time, I like to use my dad as an example sometimes because I like the way he handled himself with certain things. One time, my mom and I went down to a drugstore. It was in Weston, West Virginia. My dad had a little church there. He pastored for a while. We went into this drugstore. And this was back when pornography was pretty rampant. It's even worse now, folks. But Mom and I walked in the drugstore, and before I could even get in the door, she smacked me in the top of the head and said, "Get out of here." She said, "You go sit in the car." And I went out and sat in the car, and she came back out, and she said, "I can't believe what they just did in there." She said, "They got a whole magazine rack right there. Nothing covered. A bunch of naked women right there on it. And you wonder why our world is in the shape that it's in. We wonder why it's in the shape that it's in." And my mom said, "You go sit in the car," and I stayed in that car. I wasn't going to move. I done got hit in the forehead. She done swatted me, about knocked me down, because she was going to protect me. Mothers are wonderful people. When they're godly women, they are wonderful people. And then we go home, and she tells Dad. Dad picks up the phone. He calls. He got information. He got the mayor's phone number. He called the mayor. He said, "I'll be at your office in the morning." He called him at home. He told him, "I'm Pastor Jim Johnson." He said, "I got something I want to talk to you about." And he went down to his office the next morning with his Bible in hand, as he always did. And he gave him from the Word of God how wrong that is. And you know what? And he told the mayor, he said, "I'm going to tell you right now." He said, "I'll plaster you all over every newspaper I possibly can." He said, "I will destroy you if you allow this to continue." After that, they went behind the counter. So he got him out of view. And folks, that's what we've got to do. We've got to make a stand. And we'll talk about that later as we go on further through this. But tonight, we're just going to get through the love part. But, you know, as we walk in love, that love, it's got to be pure. And at the same time, well, if I get it to work again. It's a very serious concern for immoral and greedy persons that they have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. Folks, if Christians need to back up, when we're doing immoral and when we are living a life that's immoral, and you know, there's Christians that have been hurt because of immorality from one spouse to another, and it breaks my heart when I think of people who won't go to churches because they were hurt so bad in a church for something that took place in that church. And we can't fix that now because it's already happened. But it breaks my heart, and it should break your heart. It should break all of our hearts when we think that some of the things that's happened probably right here in Abundant Life Baptist Church where somebody was hurt and they won't come to our church any longer because of bad memories, because of something that was immoral. But instead, these people that live this kind of a lifestyle are going to experience the full wrath of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 5 and 7 is very clear about that. It says, "For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, nor who is an idolater, hath an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." Pretty simple. Don't be a part of it. Say no to sin. Walk away from it. Do it in love. I mean, it's a serious concern when it hits the church, folks. And it's hit every church in America, I guarantee it. I guess that's what scares me sometimes when I think about a church getting really big. Because the bigger the church, the more the sin. The more the sin, the less spirituality there is. I'd rather have a church with a good, sweet spirit of Jesus Christ in it, far greater than having every pew filled. But, you know, we still got a responsibility to plant the seed. I want to see our church grow, but I don't want to bring sin in the middle of it. So we've got to hit it at the door, folks. When sin comes in, we got to hit it head on, and we got to say no. We are not going to allow that in our church. Plain and simple. And I have no problem confronting people. I asked my wife. It's gotten me in trouble a few times. But I just want to speak the Word of God with boldness, with liberty. And if that offends, oh well. God's Word needs to offend us. It needs to wake us up and let us see that pure love of Jesus Christ. See, we share Jesus with others because we love them. So we need to walk in love with a love that is sacrificial and free from any personal gain or greed. That's what it's got to be. It's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. If it's not going to be about Him, let's tear that off the wall. Because we're not here to, if it's not about Jesus, we're not here to know Him if it's not about Him. But if it is, let's leave it up there. Let's carry that in our hearts everywhere we go, to know Him and to make Him known. Share the gospel with somebody this week. Oh, if you do one, I'll be happy with you. If you do two, you'll make Jesus happy. So get it out there, folks. Get it out there. Don't be afraid to do it. And you can do it in a way nobody will ever see you if you don't want to be seen. But if you're ashamed of Him, He'll be ashamed of you before the Father. Don't be ashamed to share Jesus with somebody. He's done wonderful things for you. He's done wonderful things for you. So walk in love. Walk in love. The kind of love that is sacrificial. It's going to cost. It does cost. Look what it cost Jesus. His love for us cost Him His life. What can you do for Him this week? What will you do for Him this week? Look what He's done for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your precious Word. Thank You for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for the example that He set before us. Help us, Lord. Help us to be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ. And help us to walk this week in love, sharing the gospel with as many people as we possibly can. May no one who crosses our path, Father, cross it without knowing that we love Jesus in some way, some form. Lord, we just pray now, Father, that You would just work in the hearts of Your people tonight. We ask in Christ's holy name, and for His sake we pray. Amen.